Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menard. We offer a huge selection of Bonnie plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all Bonnie 4.5-inch vegetable and herbs are on sale through May 17. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Fungela. My guest today is Chief Meteorologist from News 2 ABC here in Nashville. Danielle Breezy is in the building with us. We have a very fun conversation. We're talking about some tornado storms that she reported on. We're talking about her matitudes and gratitudes from her life, from her family and friends, her health. We get into her health journey that she's been very open with on social media, her hysterectomy, endometriosis. We're talking about that. It's such a great conversation. So she's so interesting. She's so smart. And I can't wait for you guys to hear this conversation. Also, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcast. You can leave us comments on our YouTube channel, on Spotify. You can leave us comments on Spotify. You can leave us comments on TikTok and Instagram. And maybe we will read one of your comments on a future episode. Or you can also call us. Leave us a voicemail message. You can text. You guys have so many ways to reach out to us. Like, this is really, we're doing too much. We should not be this accessible. Okay, but we are making ourselves very accessible. You can email us. You can text us. You can leave us a voicemail message. You can even fill out a form on my website. Danielle's going to give you all of that information on how you can stalk us. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the phone number is 747-300-5380. That's the one you call or text, in case you forgot. And then the email is fungelapodcast@gmail.com. And then, of course, as Angela mentioned, on the website, there is a form there as well.
Very cool. Call us. Talk to us. Ask us a question. Do you need advice on something? Ask us. We'll tell you what we think. We'll give you our 2 cents. We'll throw it in. We'll throw it in the pot. See what happens. Enjoy this episode with the incredible Danielle Breezy. Here we are, y'all. I am sweating.
Oh, you okay?
We had some technical diffs over here.
And where do I look? Just talk to you.
Yeah. Just talk to me.
Yep.
That's your camera.
Okay.
If you ever want to give it to the audience,
if I ever want to get strong, like when I do a tornado and I go straight in,
bro,
I look at you and I want to be like, ah.
Oh, let's talk about it, please. I have
so many questions.
So many questions. Now, you report the weather. Do you hate when people say you're the weather girl?
Ho, that's my attitude.
Yeah.
How did you know?
Did you know that? I heard it in my head. I go, that's rude, but I bet you people say it. Go, tell me about it.
Okay, so I'll say this. So a lot of people will just come up and be like, you're my favorite weather girl. Okay. Uh-huh. Or, oh, how's it feel to be wrong and always have a job, weather girl?
Get out of town.
And I was like, okay, I'm sorry. That is a attitude for me because I've got to be honest with you. I'm a degreed scientist that went to Cornell University.
Wow, queen.
So sometimes I have to be like, no. Not just the pretty face weather girl.
That's right.
I'm a degreed meteorologist. Now, I'm like really not that mad at the end of the day, but seriously, like, come on, man. I'm also predicting the future.
Sure.
Which, can you predict what's going to happen tomorrow?
No.
And I'm using the best tools I have, but like, it's not always that the perfect accuracy. Yeah. And yes, it may not rain on your street, but it rains the street over.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But you know, that does. I'm like, I'm a degreed scientist. I went to Cornell. Like, I'm an Ivy Leaguer.
Okay. When you went to Cornell, was this the goal? Were you like, I'm going to be on the news telling everybody when the tornado is about to touch down?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me everything from you going to school to all.
Okay. So the reason I got into weather, and I say this, a meteorologist by the name of Glenn Hurricane Schwartz, who I think has a better name than me, he was a hurricane hunter first. He came to my school in eighth grade for career day.
Uh-huh.
And I was living outside of Philadelphia at the time.
Okay.
And he was like this nerdy guy with glasses, a bow tie. Like his slogan was trust the bow tie. So he showed like
love.
Nerds could be on TV.
I love it.
And like crush it.
Uh-huh.
And everyone trusted him in Philadelphia. Like he was the weather person for all the sports teams, everything else. And I was like, that's what I want to do.
Mm.
Like I was like, I love weather. Like I've always loved weather since I was a kid. But then like to do the television part of it, I was like, that's cool. So I wrote him a letter. He invited me down to the station. I got to meet him. And he is what I will call my weather dad.
I love that.
And so he has become the reason I do the weather on TV. He helped me like, you know, find out where I was going to go to school. He's helped me through all my jobs. And we've been buddies ever since.
I love it.
And that's why now
he's so proud.
Oh, he is. And he is retired now because, you know, as I say now, my mentors are retired. So that means I'm getting old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now I'm the mentor, but I do it full circle. Uh-huh. And now I go to schools all the time and go educate them and hopefully get in one of those kids. And I've gotten some that go into like the STEM field or even into my field.
Yeah.
You know, and I have interns every summer and teach them because I was an intern under his watch.
Yeah.
And so he is a big reason why I do the weather.
Okay. So I imagine he's one of your gratitudes.
He is definitely a gratitude.
For sure. He gets all the flowers. Tell us his name again.
Glenn Hurricane Schwartz. If you're watching, buddy, love you, buddy.
Glenn Hurricane Schwartz.
Incredible name.
Great name, right? It's just a great name.
How is it that every meteorologist has an incredible name? I know your story of your name, but do you tell people the story of your name?
Oh, I tell my story.
Okay.
Okay, I love this because this is another gratitude. My husband, Joe Parisi.
Yes.
He is wonderful. Now, I will say this. He's a radio DJ, right?
Uh-huh.
And now he works in Atlanta at Q99.7, has a big, big job now, lead morning host.
But I did not know he was in Atlanta
now. We are living a long-distance love marriage. Can't wait to tell you all about it. It's wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So he got this amazing job. But when we met, we were in Boston. So he was working at CBS Radio at the time, and I got the ABC job.
Yeah.
And he tweeted me.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is like love, I guess the love language or whatever. And he slipped into my DMs and then he invited me out. And I was like, who's Joe Breezy? So then I met him. I was like, wow, he's cute. And he's got the best name. And I was like, man, we're going to get married. Like I thought that in my head the first date.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't tell him that.
For the name alone.
Because I was like, man, you are going to elevate me in so many ways.
I love that.
And he knows the business.
Yeah.
Because he works in radio. So he knows what it's like to get up, pick up, move around the country for the next job, work crazy hours.
Yeah.
Because we've done it all and I've been all around the country doing it. And so it was the best thing that ever happened for me because since that name happened, we got married. Yeah. Then I got the chief job here in Nashville.
I hope you never leave. Please never leave Nashville. I'm never leaving.
I love it. I love it too much.
Thank you.
This is our home. Yeah. I mean, Atlanta can be a second home.
Yeah.
I'm good with that too.
Uh-huh.
I love two homes. I love multiple homes. But I do think that moving here, getting married to him and then moving here, that name, like no matter what, like coming into this market as a chief meteorologist and brand new, taking over for someone that had been here 25 years, people chuckled at the name.
Mm-hmm.
It was memorable. So even if like they were like, who is this person? Then they got to know me.
Yeah.
But the name is like catchy as anything.
Totally. What'd you go by before that?
I was Danielle Vollmar. I mean, it's okay. It's strong.
Sure.
It's German. It's good, but meh.
It's not giving weather.
No, it's not giving weather vibes.
It's not. It's not hinting to what I'm passionate about.
Right. So it's like, hello, Joe Breezy. Thank you so much for coming to my life. And then the name has been so playful that like even when I've done some cool things, like I've gotten to do Good Morning America, World News Tonight, they want to play with me because they love my name. They're like, the fresh breeze is blowing in.
They
love it. And plus, I have that breezy attitude of life. Like my life is, I kind of breeze in, breeze out. I'm easy breezy. I kind of go with the flow.
Yeah. Do you ever quote Friends? I'm breezy.
I've never done that, but I should be doing that.
Girl,
a friend is on my station. I should be doing that. Okay.
We've been quoting that for like almost every episode.
Oh my word, breezy!
Really, I didn't know that. That's amazing. I'm breezy.
Yeah, I'm breezy. Okay, you gotta look up that episode where Monica is leaving her ex boyfriend.
Okay,
message on his answering machine. This is she's calling his answering machine, leaving him a message, and she's trying to be like, "I'm chill, I'm cool." Really, she's freaking out about him. Right?
Okay,
she's like, I'm chill. I'm cool. Whatever. Hey, and I'm breezy. And then all her friends are like, you can't say you're breezy. That negates the breezy. It's
right.
a whole moment that we quote often here. I love and now it. You have to quote it.
Now yeah. I'm going to start using it.
It's yours.
It's mine. Yours. I'm taking it.
Yeah. Yep. That is so cool. You inherited the best name for what you're doing. That is amazing. Now we jumped right into gratitude. Well, actually, we did your gratitude, the weather girl. That's right. Okay. I have questions about the tornadoes and such. Okay. So let me take it back first. This was a question that I had in my brain. When you're out and about around town,
yes.
Do people recognize your voice before they recognize your face? Because you do have that, like, that raspy,
yep.
You got it voice.
Yep.
Are you, like, at the register and they're like, wait, what? I know this voice.
That's a lot of times because, like, if I'm wearing even, like, sunglasses, right, and I'm going out and about, right?
Yeah.
As soon as I talk, yeah. I'm like, I know you.
Uh-huh.
You saved me during tornadoes. Now, that's the best compliment I can ever get.
Thank you.
If somebody says to me, you saved my life,
yep.
I will sit and talk and have a great time and give them a hug because that matters to me. That's like why I do what I do.
It's beautiful.
But it is wild because the voice is so distinct. You know, I've had this voice since I was a child.
Uh-huh.
I had nodules, you know, so
you did?
I did growing up because I screamed so much. My mom and dad said I was just so energetic,
uh-huh.
which is why I do so many things and never stop.
Uh-huh.
But it's been always this deep.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had to have surgery on my voice at one point.
Did.
I had vocal surgery because I had such bad nodules and like I'd used it so long.
Uh-huh.
And then it kind of elevated my voice back to like, it's still my voice, but it's not as, it was real gritty in Boston, like gritty.
Hey.
So it's a little bit better now.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I can use more of it because I didn't have as much range.
You have more range. Yes.
So that's, I mean, that's important because people don't realize that as, you know, singers or people that use their voice for a living, which you do too. So do I.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important. You got to take care of your voice too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my voice is very distinguishable, but I will say that it's either that or they're just like, I know you. Why do I know you?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, wait a second. I know you.
Yeah.
You kept me up till 3 a.m. last night. I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Has there ever been a tornado situation? Okay. First of all, you said you grew up in Philly,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You guys don't get tornadoes there, do you?
Not much. Nope.
No. Okay. So, but had you worked in other parts of the country that did get tornadoes before Nashville, or was Nashville the first big tornado?
No. That's how I think I got this job.
Oh.
So I actually worked in, so I went to college at Cornell, worked at ABC in Elmira, New York, a small station while going to college.
Okay.
My friends would like drink to me, like make jokes. It was bad. It was on VHS tape. You can't find those tapes.
Stop.
It was so bad because I was on air at 20 years old. That was my first time ever on TV with no training.
Wow.
I just said yes and I wanted to do it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then I went to Salisbury, Maryland, like outside of Philadelphia area. It's like by the beaches. Then a news director said, if you want to work in a major market one day, you have to work in Oklahoma City. So I had my eye on the prize. I'm like, I'm going to Oklahoma City.
So first of all, I think you might be the only person that says my eyes on the prize. I'm going to Oklahoma City.
Like,
I think you're the only one who has
who's ever going to want to go to Oklahoma City? No offense. It's in dead middle America with nothing going on. I-40 runs across it. It's so bad. But okay.
Shout out to everybody at Oklahoma City.
Hey, I love you. Hey, I love you. I do love you guys. You guys are wonderful. I had a wonderful time there.
I've just never heard anybody say that was the dream city, that was eye on a prize. You know what I'm saying? We get back to Friends again. Isn't that where Chandler went to go work?
Yes.
Oklahoma City. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very
much. Listen,
does. Watch Friends.
Okay. You like Friends. You like Friends. I like that. So, yeah. So, Oklahoma City. I like emailed every meteorologist there and finally got a job at Fox in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
And while I was there, that is where I learned the radar. And learned how to spy tornadoes ahead of time and know exactly how to find them, know exactly how to do tornado coverage, like the street level mapping.
Uh-huh.
You know, like when I get down to the nitty gritty on TV, you know it's bad when I'm on the streets and I'm saying, hey, you've got 2 minutes. And the other thing I learned there is, you know, you don't got time.
Wow.
Okay, because this is a life-threatening thing.
Wow.
So you don't mess around on this. You bring your A game during it. And if I talk faster and I talk with more emphasis and I get you to get upstairs, get from your upstairs to your downstairs, I did something right. People say to me, some people say, you're dramatic, Danielle. And I said, you know what? Did I get you in your basement? They said, yeah. I said, well, it worked.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what I learned in Oklahoma City because people died there a lot.
Mm.
And it was bad.
Mm.
They had huge tornadoes there.
Yeah.
I mean, we went through May 10, 2010, 36 tornadoes. I was on the air. We were on the air together from 9 to like 3 the next morning. So it was wild. And I went outside that day. They put me out live during the work, like when the worst of it was over. So I'm going into the heavy damage area in Edmond, a beautiful suburb. And so I'm there and this girl comes over and she's like, Danielle, you guys saved my life. We were watching you. Look at the center of the house. Everything around me is gone, but I'm alive. And I'm so thankful, and hugging me. And we're doing this live shot on air. And it's so emotional.
Chills.
Yes. And that was the day I said, okay, it matters. We can save lives.
Yes.
And so that was a day that etched to me. And that training is the breeding ground of why I do how I do it, and why my team as a group does how they do. They're super committed. Mm-hmm. They understand safety is the number one priority. If you're gonna watch us, we are going to keep you safe.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be there before it. We're going to be there during it. I don't leave. Mm-hmm. I never leave. I stay till 3 or 4 in the morning, till 8 or 9 the next day. I stay the whole day the next day. And we cover the stories after. I go into the field when the big stuff happens. And I go talk to the people, and I want to tell their story. And then I want to help the community.
You're the best. You are the best at what you do, Winnet, because there's other meteorologists here around town, and I follow everybody on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And if they tell me there's something coming through, I'd be like, let me go see what Danielle said about it. Hold on. I'd be like, okay,
I love
thank
that.
You. Thank you for the heads up. Let me go
check Danielle. Let me make sure what she said. Oh, she's in it. She's in it. Now it's
and
done.
If your tone has changed, girl, I sent that to everybody. Everybody that I know.
You do it. You're good. Good. Mm-hmm. You see, and I love you because you are like one of my girls, and my girls disseminate my information. Yeah. So you know, and then you send it to your friends, and you know it's real.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're all taking, I have people in all different pockets. Mm-hmm. They're taking care of people. And that's what I love too. It's like, you guys are truly people that help me because you get the word out too.
Oh, yeah.
It's important.
And now my mom moved here.
Okay.
And let me tell you, tornadoes, we're all new to tornadoes because we're from California.
Yes, so I know. Yeah,
we don't know anything about this, but I've been here a few years now. So now I know. Okay, first, when I hear a tornado siren, I immediately call my neighbor across the street who's born and raised here. And I'm like, girl, what are you doing?
Right.
Where are you at?
Right.
And she's like, oh, no, this just happened the other day. She's like, oh, no, girl, that they run tests once a month.
Oh, yeah, that you do that. And that's during the clear air. You got to remember that. It should be clear air when they run it. They should never run it during a storm day.
And that's why I was so confused. I heard it, and I was like, wait, everybody stop. I hear something. And I ran out to the door. I'm like, there's no storm. I don't understand. I don't get tornadoes. Like, I'm even more confused now. I'm like, I don't understand the signs. I don't know anything. I call my friend. I was like, girl. What is happening? She's like, oh, no, they do a test. And she's telling me about that. I was like, oh, okay. But I was ready to send because I know my mom's here now. And she's a little bit freaked out about tornadoes. She's so funny. She was watching, I don't know what. She's still getting her cable set up.
Okay.
And she don't like to do streaming TV. She's still.
She's old school like me. Cable?
Yeah, she wanted to be on that cable line. She wanted that local channels. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you can still stream the local. She's like, no, I want to plug in. So she was watching something about a tornado. I was like, where? Like, I hadn't heard anything. She's where? She's like, nope, Kentucky. Wrong state. She's not even watching the right local.
Oh, no.
It's like so far away. And I was like, oh, okay.
You're like, okay, mom. Mm-hmm. Okay. You got to make sure you're in the Nashville DMA. Now, I do say we do cover Kentucky. That's another thing people don't realize that.
Because we're actually kind of close.
Because we're close. We're only like 1.5 to 2 hours to the border.
Yeah.
You know, so we literally cover the strip of counties along the state line of Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
So they only have Nashville DMA to see. So
a
lot of people get mad about that. That's another thing. So you weren't here in 2020, right?
No.
Okay. So that's the.
Oh, the East.
East Nashville.
Oh, talk about it.
So that was the event for me that I think changed my life here and changed like where people were like, okay, Danielle Barisi is my hero. We got to watch her.
Tell me about it.
Because it was March 2nd, 3rd, 2020. We had The Bachelor on our air on ABC. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. And listen, guilty pleasure. I used to watch it. It was Pilot Pete season.
Okay.
It was women tell all. Do you want to hear them cackle? I don't really care either, but whatever. So I had to cut in during it because we had a tornado on the ground in Christian County in Kentucky.
Okay.
Only coverage is us. Okay. Yeah. So people are writing me in. I'm getting phone. You hear the phone ringing in the background.
What bing, do I care bing, about bing, Kentucky? Bing.
They're binging me, binging me, binging. Like, get off the. You know, F this, like, and
not F this. I need my bachelor.
Yes. Okay. And they were like yelling at me, we don't care about a Kentucky tornado. Get off the screen, girl. Stop talking. Stop gabbing. They're going to kill your dog, your son, your dog, or whatever. Everything.
Stop it.
They were like crazy. They were wild. They knew my dog's name was Lucy. I was like, that's scary.
They threaten your dog because you interrupted their programming?
Yes. Okay. So here's what's crazy about this. So crazy. that my boss called me when I came down at like 9. Uh-huh. So I come, of course, the tornado warning stops at 9:30.
Uh-huh.
That was one cell that went across. It was a super cell. There was one forming out in West Tennessee. Uh-huh. My boss goes, you need to write a message on all your platforms saying that The Bachelor will re-air at 12:06. I go, what if I don't think it's going to happen? He's like, you got to do damage control, Danielle. People are really mad at you. I'm like, okay. So I put it on like my Instagram, because my Instagram page was flooded with bad stories about me. And I just didn't even want to look at it.
Gosh.
Like, and people were writing on my last post mean things. So, okay.
Unreal for trying to save a life. Get out
yeah.
here.
So I'm like having like really like feeling like really bad, but then thinking in my head, there's a cell that's going over the same air that went over there and already spawned two tornadoes. So at 10 o'clock, I say on the news, please don't let your guard down tonight. There's another cell developing. It's going to be a supercell. It's going over the same area. I wouldn't be surprised we have tornadoes tonight. Please have a way to get the warnings. What happened at 12:06? The Nashville tornado was happening, bearing down on East Nashville, doing EF3 damage.
Wow.
It went across and then spawned an EF4 tornado in Cookeville.
Wow.
That tornado overnight took 25 people.
Oh, my God.
We were on the air nonstop till I was on all day, till the next night, till 10 o'clock at night. And my boss kicked me out at like 8 something. He's like, you got to go get sleep because I got to get you back out in the field in about a couple hours. I said, how am I going to sleep on this?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm like wired. So I went to the gym. I ran on the treadmill 3.5 miles, the fastest I ever ran.
Opposite of sleep. Got it.
I was bawling my eyes out. Ugh. Thinking about, this is the first event I've been the lead and lost people.
Oh my God.
And then had to go out live and report, but wanted to do it for the people and did it all day and all night and did it every day for the next
people that were mad at you.
Well, they weren't mad. So that's what's crazy. The next day, think about this, in a window of like 6 hours, went from the most hated woman on television to beloved. And it was wild. And all these people writing these comments in an age, well, how do you feel 25 people died? This girl's trying to save lives. She's yelling. She's screaming. Yep. She's on all day and all night. So it was the most wild PTSD experience I've ever had in my life. But it's like the event that shaped me where people said, she's a hero. She like yelled about Cookeville. Like, she didn't let the TV go to Nashville damage. She said, put the damage in the other side of the box. I got to talk about Cookeville. My friends in Cookeville, there's a tornado about to bear down. We got to talk about the streets. So like, wow. I didn't like where the other stations may have went to like a lot of programming of the damage. Mm-hmm. I was like, put it in the side box. We got to talk about what's happening because there's still a tornado on the ground.
Dang.
So it was a wild night. But that's a night that I'll never forget. I did a presentation on it, Breezy versus the Bachelor, at my American Meteorological Society conference.
Wow.
Teaching
wow.
others how to deal with the stress of it, mm-hmm. how to deal with the anxiety of it and what you deal with and how you have to like forget the noise.
Mm-hmm.
And you can know this as something. There are people that troll on you no matter what.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Forget the noise. Focus on what you got to do at the task at hand and stay true to who you are.
That's so important because, for instance, in my field, I can hear a bunch of negative comments and then I can choose to be like, forget it. I'm not going to put out part two of this video because everybody hated it. Look at all these comments. Everybody hate it. I won't do it. If you were to be like, I don't want to make people mad, just put the whatever up and then I'll just do this because everybody's already upset. Nah, you saved lives and you chose to, because what if it didn't touch down again and everybody's being upset with you and all of that? Kudos to you, girl. You got lives in your hands and judgers and haters and trolls and all that kind of stuff. Like, if I cave to the haters, it affects nobody but me.
Correct. I always say this, though, if you don't have haters, you're not doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have haters. You know what? Haters make me get up in the morning so I can continue to prove them wrong and prove how great I am.
Wow.
And I continue every day. Like, I don't mind it. I'm like, watch me. Watch me. Watch me cook.
Yeah, queen.
You know what I mean? And then I love the positive. I will always respond to a positive. I will give them love. Yeah. And sometimes you can turn a troll into a fan in 2 seconds.
Uh-huh.
They just want attention.
Yeah.
And it's not that hard.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know. It's always if you have the time to do it. Sometimes I don't have the time to do it.
Sure.
But, you know, I will say that night, after that night, it changed for me. And I think people realize she's the truth. She gives.
Mm-hmm.
She cares. Mm-hmm. She showed it in her voice and her intensity.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why people now trust me with weather. And I've since then, subsequent, we have plenty of tornado events.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of them. We always have them. So I feel like people watch, and I feel like, and you never know who's watching too. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Nashville, plenty of big time people here. You're big time. There's
thank you.
There's a lot of big time people here that trust me and say thank you and respect me.
Yeah.
And it's like, we watch you because we know what you, and old time Nashville watches me.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. like where I've gotten them. And then all the new ones come in because, you know, it's a good thing. And I think they know I'm going to be there. If I'm always there, like I'm not going to miss it. Like my husband knows, oh, she's missing our vacation day. Like she's got to stay for the storm. She's going to, I came a day late to vacation before. I've missed the whole vacation before for it.
Wow.
You know, it is what it is. And my bosses know that about me. Like I'm never going to leave it unattended, you know? So that's a big
deal.
Well
done. So well done, queen.
It's in my blood, you know, and I care. I actually, like, I care about it.
Did anybody in your family before do weather or science or anything? Like, was it?
I mean, my dad's an engineer, or was an engineer. He's retired now, but he was an engineer. But he always loved weather. I found that out later in life. Oh. So I was like, maybe that was, like, in our genes.
Yeah.
You know, but my family's a full of engineers.
Did you ever do the, like, tornado chasing?
Oh, yes. I did that in Oklahoma City. So I pitched that because I really wanted to do it. But we were a three-person staff, so they never, like, let me out of the building during spring season because we always had to be on.
Yeah.
But I said, can I go for 2 days and do a tornado chase? I have an idea. I said, my friend Lanny Dean's a chaser. He's going to invite me out on a storm-chasing vacation trip because people pay to go on storm-chasing vacation trips to Oklahoma, believe it or not. And so a mother and daughter wanted to go. The mother was dying of COPD.
Whoa.
And her dying wish was to see a tornado with her daughter.
No way. What a interesting dying wish. But okay, I'm here for it. Let's talk about it.
Okay, so I get to go out on this chase with them. Now, the first day, as we say, the cap never busted, so nothing happened. Storms never initiated. Okay. So it's a boring day. Second day, boom. They were tall. They were growing. Seven tornadoes we saw.
Whoa.
And we got footage of them. Crying, hugging each other.
Oh my gosh.
It was an amazing ratings piece that we did. And it was amazing to watch Mother Nature cook, but not in a way where it's hurting people because it was out in the plains. So there's like, you know, they're dropping down pretty. It was just unique to see.
Yes, sure, sure, sure.
And you feel like, okay, that's actually unique and nice. Don't want them to hurt somebody.
Exactly.
But it is interesting to watch raw in real life.
Okay, now I have a tornado, like, actual explain it to me question. So it feels like most tornadoes hit like outside of city centers. I've never heard of a tornado hitting like downtown Oklahoma City, downtown Nashville, where all the buildings are and everything like that. Except for Nashville 911. Thank you so much.
Thank you, 911 Nashville, for that, all that. We'll talk about that.
Because you are a TV star now.
Yes.
Why is that? Why do they hit outsides and not like city centers?
I think it's the way they, depending on where they come from, a lot of times the way they're lined up. It's not to say it couldn't hit downtown Nashville, because the one in 1998 here hit like near Vandy's campus and hit the stadium as it was being built, the new Nissan. So it came close to downtown. Very, it was actually closer, but the one in 2020 was just a little bit farther north, but same path length almost. Started in west, came across north Nashville, hit east, went across, but luckily didn't hit downtown. I think it just depends on where things set up. Normally they set up a little bit to the north or a little bit to the south. It depends on like the line of flow, how it comes in.
I was even surprised that it hit East Nashville the way it did.
It did hit it bad.
It felt like, I'm like, wait a minute. And it was like naive to think, but I'm like thinking like, wait, we're immunity. This is like a big city. Like these hit outside, like a little bit further away. But no, it went through my favorite tea shop. It got everything.
East, and it got Germantown. Like Germantown area too got hit. Because a lot of my friends' buildings, like Geist got, like I went to Geist, that got ripped off.
Wow.
A condo building, one of my friends told me like they got down because they heard, listening to me. And they were like on the top one. And if they had been in bed, all the glass would have shattered on them.
Wow.
So it's like those, it does hit. I mean, it's just depending. I don't know if it goes through the exact center.
Sure, sure.
But a lot of them do go south, north. It all depends on where they form. Now, I will say this. Have you noticed they're at night?
Yeah. Why is that?
We're the number one state for nocturnal tornadoes, Tennessee.
Why? But why?
Because I think the line sets up. So Oklahoma City has a line that comes through, like a dry line starts, right? Okay. And they get a line. And then that line passes out, like dies off. And then it regenerates in the afternoon around Arkansas and Missouri.
Okay.
And then ours come in at night because that stays together. And then the
The storm,
like the line, how it comes
going
in.
Through is like sequence through a cycle.
And then the problem is now, the Gulf down to the south of us, okay. the ocean, uh-huh. is staying warmer mm. all year long. So if mm. you notice, too, we get tornadoes now in December sometimes. We used to not get as many of those. And that's because the water's warmer. So now we have enough warm air to push in sometimes.
Dang.
And then you get a cold snap and pow, the ingredients are there.
Oh, my gosh.
So that happens. Tornadoes all any time of day, any time of year, mostly at night. We have to be prepared.
Did you ever spend time in California? Did you live
there? I've never lived in California. Okay. I visited, obviously, because Joe's family sure. is in the Bay. So yeah, I'm in the Bay a lot. Bah, bah, bah. And uh-huh. then I have been in LA a lot because I have friends in LA. And I love him. Okay. It's fun.
Because I always say that I would take an earthquake over a tornado.
Sure.
I agree with you on that.
Earthquakes can be at 3 a.m. or 2 p.m.
Like, right.
doesn't even matter. And even the big ones, like, I don't know. There's just something so unpredictable and scary about tornadoes that I don't mess around. As soon as I hear a warning... And also knowing the difference between tornado warning and tornado watch.
It's important.
That, yeah. yes, mm-hmm. like that's also very, and can you explain that to people?
Yeah, so tornado watch means conditions are favorable for a tornado to form. That's going to be issued before the event happens. If you got a tornado watch till 8 p.m. today, you would want to make sure you're paying attention to the weather till 8 p.m. Doesn't mean anything's happening. Mm-hmm. Just means you got to pay attention. Tornado warning, if it's for your county, it means a tornado's on the ground. But here's the thing. Somebody says, why don't you just run a crawl? Now, if I run a crawl, there's a big polygon box. Do you know where that tornado is? No, you need the meteorologist to show you on the radar the greens and reds.
Thank you.
And we show you where the rotation is.
Uh-huh.
And then if I can correlate that with debris, uh-huh. I can tell you where it's touching down. So I can tell you pinpoint it street to street as it's moving.
Dang.
So that's what we do. So if there's a tornado warning, for example, it is FCC law for us to come into the program that you're watching. So don't get mad at me.
Uh-huh.
If you're watching The Bachelor, Wheel of Fortune people, don't get mad at me.
They come for you?
They come for me on Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune
is like our highest thing, I swear. That one in World News. Oh, David Muir.
Don't come for David. Okay?
Listen, I love my David.
Leave my David alone.
I love my David. Don't get twisted. But David, sometimes I got to break into you, buddy.
Uh-huh.
I don't mean to, but I got to. But that's those things where we have to do it. So the warning means it's time to go. And especially if you start to see my voice change and I start to say your street and I say you've got 3 minutes, it's really time to go and it's time to go now.
Oh, yeah. There was one time we had the sirens mm-hmm. went off and I was upstairs and it was me, the baby, mm-hmm. My nanny, and the dog, and heard the sirens and I was like, wait, everybody quiet. I need to make sure that's what I'm hearing. And then when I realized I heard it, I grabbed my dog mm-hmm. and I told my nanny, I go, grab the baby. And then we run downstairs to go down to the basement. This is like new because now my daughter's about to be three.
Okay.
So this is like us new here, really like living with like tornadoes and stuff and like running down to the basement. And I'm like trying to like think, and our basement's outside. So we got to go outside.
Yep. Okay.
And after that was all done and we go down, there was nothing and we're like, okay, well, at least we were safe and we took all the precautions. She was laughing at that I grabbed my dog first.
You're like, my dog first. Gotta take the dog.
She was laughing at that I grabbed my dog. But I have a reason, everyone, for that. Because I knew she would easily pick up my daughter, grab, protect the baby.
Yes.
More than she's going to chase around my dog, who's probably scared at what's happening.
Right.
I know he's going to come right to me. So in my brain, You're like,
I'm getting the dog.
Yep. Got him. Because that's going to be a mess if you try to get him. So let me just grab him. You grab her. Everybody go. And she's like, you grab your dog before your daughter.
I mean, listen, I love fur babies. So I'm just saying. And I fur babies... to know my voice. You know that? People
Stop.
Tell me that the viewers have told me their dogs know, like when I start yelling, they go into their safe spot. They go into the closet.
Wow.
That's cool that animals now know too.
Wow. Wait, are you the Holy Spirit? Hold on.
No, I'm not the Holy Spirit. No.
Are you Nashville's Holy Spirit? Wait a minute. Did you hear that still small voice? No, but I heard Danielle Breezy and I went.
I will say, it's funny you say that because like when I was in Oklahoma City, there was this guy, I didn't work with him, but he was on like the legendary station and his name was Gary England, another great name.
Uh-huh.
And people used to say like, it's God and Gary England.
Uh-huh.
Because he would like be the tornado saver and whisperer. Yeah. So I feel like that's funny. You know, I'm like,
Absolutely.
It's like now I'm like, wow, am I becoming like a Gary England? Am I becoming like a James Spann? Like, what's happening here? But okay. But no, it's a good, like, I mean, as long as they know, that's what makes me happy. I'm like, okay, good. People are actually doing it. That's good.
I love that. Give me another gratitude from your life, whether it's from your career or your family or childhood or anything. What's another gratitude in your life?
Well, I'll say this to follow this, and then I'll go into gratitude of personal stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Because I will say another event I was doing last spring, we had like tornadoes like every day for a week. If you remember one week, if you were here, it was wild. I had you in the basement like multiple times because there was multiple cells turning. And it just so happened that 911 Nashville was scouting locations. So they were in the hotel room, and I made them go into the basement 3 to 4 times.
At the hotel?
At the hotel. And they were like, who is Danielle Breezy? We want her to do the weather. And they called like the local agent to get a hold of me. So
that's so cool.
That is how I got to do 911 Nashville. And so I was their meteorologist for their tornado, which was the big start of the season.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm hoping, because they are going to do an episode, like a season two.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping they're going to do a flood or something.
Like, yeah.
You were talking about doing weather, so bring me back.
Yes.
So I love that.
That only makes sense to bring you back.
Bring me back and do that again.
Yeah.
So that's a gratitude because I've never been in a primetime series.
Yeah.
And like doing, you know, I mean, I got to do Good Morning America from New York and here for many years. And I got to do World News. Those are gratitudes too, because it's like very cool. Like people don't understand the experience of getting to go up there into the big lights, all these people and do the weather in 30 seconds
and
for the world.
Crush it.
And yes.
You crushed it.
And had a great time.
Yep.
Now that's my career.
We watched.
You watched.
Oh yeah, we did.
We've
seen
it.
I was everywhere. I had like two jobs at the same time. I had a full-time job here and a full-time job there for a long time.
Uh-huh.
It was wonderful. And it was a wonderful thing. I think the gratitude here though is personally, I'm so gratitude to my family, my husband, and my friends. Without that personal tribe, I don't think I would be where I am today. I'm very blessed that I have really good people around me. I have, you know, my husband that's super, super supportive of me and always wants to be there for me.
How long have you been married?
We're going to be married 10 years in June.
Oh, wow. Awesome. June what?
June 24th.
Ooh, we're June 11th.
How long have you guys been married?
15 this year.
Wow.
Dang.
Girl.
Vieja. She's an old lady.
No, I mean, that's
been married 15 years.
That's wonderful. That's good. That's good things, that's though. Great, that's great. Yeah. Like, it's great. You know, we have great husbands that I think.
Totally.
If they didn't support you, we wouldn't be
going. Oh, my gosh.
Up.
No. We, 100%. Okay, so your husband, he supports you. He is your tribe. He's your person. Continue.
And then my mom and dad and my brother, my family, my nuclear family is wonderful. They're always great. And they, you know, they stream me from Philadelphia. Love every that. Night. They're still watching. Or they'll be like, where are you? You weren't on the news at 10. I was like, Mom, I was hosting the Nashville Symphony Fashion Show. She's like, oh, okay. Well, show me a picture. I was like, she goes, you know me, I'm not on social media that much. I don't know how to get to it. And I sent her a picture. She's like, oh, you look beautiful. You look fabulous. How'd it go? You
know, like, I love it.
So they're always like watching, which is wonderful.
I love that her streaming the 10 o'clock news is like her friend finder app for you.
Yes.
It's like her location tracker for you. Like, she's like, wait, hold on.
Where are you? Where have you been? You're not there. Are you okay? Everything good?
Yeah.
And then I will say like my friends, like I have a personal group of girlfriends.
Tell me about them.
Oh, they're wonderful. I have so many. This is the problem. I have so many friends in a great way.
Yeah.
Like I love my friends. I have my Nashville girls and I have several groups of Nashville girls that I hang out with that are my tribes that they always take care of me. Like after I have like a crazy week at work, they're like, take the Monday off after the storms are passed. We're taking you out. Like we're going to have a good girls day and celebrate you.
I love that.
And that's so wonderful, you know? And it's like, they're always there for me. They're always, you know, being my biggest fans and cheerleaders. And then I have friends from childhood, from like growing up in high school and middle school and elementary school that I still keep in touch with. We don't live near each other, but like we still talk on the phone. You know, they're sweet. They call me anytime. And then I have my college friends and they come in and out from Nashville every time and again. And then I have my friends from all over the country, like Oklahoma City. Shout out. One of my best friends, Renee's from Oklahoma City. My friend Chris, like they're all from there. And I love them. And they made my life in Oklahoma City better. My friend Amanda's in Dallas. My two Amandas in Dallas. Man, they made my life better. In Boston, my friends in Boston. They made everywhere I went, I took like a tribe.
Yeah.
And I still keep in touch with everyone.
That's great.
Which is so wonderful.
How do you do it? How do you keep in touch? Do you have like a, we check in like once a month, or we do like just whenever you're on my mind, I give you a call, or like, how do you do
it? Yeah, I usually do it. Like if I feel like I haven't talked to someone, I'll give them a phone call. And I'm like heart old school. Like I pick up the phone
girl.
And I call.
Same.
And I leave them a message And I hope they call me back. And if they do, great. And if not, we can't connect. We try to get back to me. But I literally talk to my best friends most of the time. Now, here in Nashville, most of them, I just kind of see them because I'll go see them. And if I feel like I haven't seen them, I'll text them, say, I haven't seen you in a while. Can we plan a day, even if it's a quick lunch before work or on my dinner break? Let's get together.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I do it, just to check in periodically, make sure. But I love friends. Like, I think, like, your cup runneth deep when you have girlfriends.
Come through. Yep.
You know, and it's like, you need those people because, like, social media is great and good and bad for me. Like, it's great because it's, you need to do it. It's great for a connection, whatever, that kind of thing. But my true connection is being with people. Like, being in person.
Quality time.
Yes. That is actually it. That's my love language. Yeah. Quality time.
Good.
And acts of service, which I tell my husband all the time. When you take out the trash for me, that's the sexiest thing you can do.
Hey.
I was like, hey, come in. I'm in with you.
My husband, he does all the cleaning around here, and I've kind of taken it for granted. And I remember one time I said something about, like, being romantic, and he is like, you don't see all this cleaning I do for you? This is not romantic? And I was like, no, I'm grateful. I am very appreciative, but I wouldn't call it romantic. I don't know, but I'm so grateful. My husband, he does all the cleaning, he does laundry, he does, and this is what a jerk I am. I was noticing that the trash can was full in the bathroom.
Okay.
And I'm like, when's he gonna take out this trash?
Oh my god, girlfriend.
I have easily taken it out.
Girlfriend.
I easily just grabbed it and took it out. But instead I was like, oh, he didn't take the trash.
You are bad.
What is wrong with me?
You're bad, but that's funny.
I am.
I will say now it's like, because now that Joe's in Atlanta, this is a new part of our marriage.
Yeah. Okay. So how long has this been happening?
Since he moved there in February.
Okay.
So he has a place in Buckhead. You know, we have an apartment in Buckhead. We have our place here in the Gulch, and we go back and forth. But I will say that I think the long distance, it's really true. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Because I really appreciate now the moments we have together. Like, I don't take it for granted now. Like, sometimes, like, when you're with your partner every day and you're, like, lounging. And, I mean, listen, we all lived through COVID together, so we know what that was like. But, like, when you're, like, sitting there day by day and it's just kind of, like, the monotonous day. Now it's, like, we only have, like, 48 hours sometimes. So it's, like, those moments matter.
Yeah.
You know? And I think I wasn't as, like, touchy-feely before. I'm not really a touchy-feely person. I mean, I'll hug everyone and everything. But I'm not, like, really. Like, I like to go to bed and be, like, good night. Like, roll
over. You're
not
trying to cuddle.
No, not a cuddler.
Caress.
No, not a cuddler. Not a cuddler. Not a cuddler. But now I'm like, always like, I'm going to touch you a little bit because I'm not going to touch him for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, so it's a good thing. I think it's a great thing that he did this. And I think it's kind of, I love to see him come to his own because he's worked just as hard as I have for his career.
Totally.
And so, like, to see him have his career really thriving on the highest level or somewhere he thought he could never get to. And I'm like, boo, you were going to get there.
Yeah.
I knew it. You had it in you the whole time.
Yeah.
So to see him doing it and thriving, it's, like, sexy too.
Yeah.
Like, go, babe.
Yes.
You get that. You get that money. You get that thing. You do it.
I love that.
And he's becoming his own deal in Atlanta. I'm like, this is cool. You can be the famous person in Atlanta. I can chill out and sit in the backside. I can have my wine and nobody will know.
Incredible. What a cool partnership you guys have.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, you guys have that too. I think that if you don't have that, that's not good. You got to, I tell that to anyone that's single. You got to find that person that really can ride or die with you. And at the end of the day, they have to be your best friend. You know, you have to, like, get along. I mean, attraction, yes, of course that's important, but, like, the buddy part, like, make you laugh.
Yeah.
Like, go through, like, conflicts good together, you know, and communication. Communication's super important. Like, we never, like, let a fight really, we've always been like this. Like, we don't really, like, if we fight, it's like a disagreement, but it's quick and it's over. I don't, like, nothing festers. Like, it just let it go.
Yeah.
Because it takes more energy to be angry and mad instead to be happy and positive.
Yeah.
You know?
You strike me as that person who would be like, no, we're getting over this and we're moving on. We're going forward. I'm not going to linger in this. I'm not going to sit in this. Like, a get or done. Not even just in life, but in, like you said, in disagreements. Like, okay, are we done?
We're done. Okay, we're good. Okay, let's move on. Like, I just don't like.
I need a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Because I got some residue.
Do you? Do you hang a little bit? Do you hang on?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I was annoyed and then we're over it. Okay. I still have this face on though. I need like give me like at least 20 more minutes of this face because
You're like, I mean, sometimes you just got to let it. Now, listen, I'm not saying there's not certain things you got to hang on. You got to hang on into your truth. But sometimes you got to like not sweat the small stuff
100.
and let it
Yes.
kind of go.
Yes.
And I think
Absolutely.
the distance thing has really taught me that. It's like, don't even worry about the stupid stuff. Like, it's not even worth it.
So you guys are weekends? Do you get to see
Weekends,
weekends?
which
Do you
I'm
take turns going
going
here and
back
there?
and forth. You know, it's like travel to Atlanta. Like now Atlanta's like a second home. But I love it. It's like a fun home.
You
It's like
drive or you fly?
I usually fly or I take, you know, there's a Bond Lane bus.
What?
It's a
Tell me.
luxury liner bus.
Tell me about it. What is it? What
So
does it look like? Tell me what
it
it
picked
feel
you up at
like.
the Omni Hotel in downtown,
Okay.
which we live in the Gold, so really quick for me, quick Uber ride. It drops you at the Grand Hyatt in Buckhead.
Whoa.
And it
What
goes
does the
back
bus
and
look like?
oh, it's like, I mean, it's like a probably like almost like a tour bus, but it's like big plush seats. There's like a one seater on one side and two on the other. And they're plush. They have like a desk. They serve you. They have an attendant that serves you snacks, lunch, drinks. You can have Red Bulls. You can have coffee. I mean, you can have any
What
kind
is
of
this
drink,
called?
sparkling. Vaughn Lane bus, girlfriend. And it's sometimes cheaper than a flight. It's like one, you can get it for 128 one way.
Vaughn Lane bus. I'm
And you
gonna
can do
look
work.
that
Like they have Wi-Fi.
up.
So I put my laptop up, do some work.
Is that your preferred mode of transpo
I
now?
mean, I kind of like it a lot. Like it depends because like the airport in Atlanta is south. Now I love Nashville Airport. Nashville Airport's amazing.
Except for they about to go under a big construction
Well, that's
thing
going to not be fun.
happening.
Yeah, I know. Once that gets big, then we're going to be like just like everybody else. I loved it. I love Nashville because I can show up like 5 minutes,
Girl.
be through
Girl.
it, still get my mimosa before I hit the plane.
Let's go.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like so amazing.
Yeah.
Like, big airports, like Atlanta scares me. Like, the one time I was in Atlanta, I was like, whoa, okay, we got to do this. I got to take a plane train. I got to take this. I got to.
Let me tell you what annoys me about the Atlanta airport,
Okay,
okay?
tell me.
And I'll do a little quick comparison of like Atlanta Airport and the Austin Airport.
Tell me.
Very different airports because Austin Airport is very small. But this is what I'm trying to say. Okay. If you are on Delta, you fly into Austin at, let's just say, gate B3.
Okay.
You know that all your connections are going to be right there, B 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Right.
Right,
It's going to
in
be
there,
right
right
there
there. Yep.
because all the Deltas are going to be right here. At Atlanta, you could be on Delta and land at gate A1, and then your connection is girl F48. And you,
Correct. Why
why?
are you putting me all the way there and I've got like 20 minutes to make it
Why?
and stressing me out?
Yep.
No, I get it. That's it's like that. It's wild. It's like a very, I was like, oh, this is a confusing airport. So that's why I'm like, maybe Vaughn Lane's better. Now I will drive too every now and again. We do drive too. If it's easier, or if it makes sense, like after I'm like this summer, I'm doing like backyard barbecues again, which I do. Like I go to someone's a viewer's backyard. I do the weather live every Friday. It's like
No
fun. Hey, you should put your backyard and I'll come to your
way. What
house.
is that? Wait, tell me, what is it? What? Tell me.
I'm pitching you for backyard. So they send a picture of their backyard. My management team, I don't see it.
Okay.
They pick it. And then it's sponsored by like 615 Outdoor Living and Jack, Jim and Nick's barbecue. And so they bring the barbecue, the guy
Oh, so
Tony comes
cool.
out, and we go to the house and we do weather live from it and we just like hang out.
When does that happen?
It's every Friday starting in like June.
That is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Did you come up with that idea?
Actually, I will give it a credit. Albert Tucker, my boss, my news director, came up with that idea.
That's a
And I've been
fun
doing that for
idea.
many years. I think I've been doing it for 8.
I love it.
It's fun because it gets me
I'm
out of the
free during the
house.
summer. This is my first time being here during the summer. That's why I
Ooh.
haven't seen this.
Okay, that's cool. Well, you, I mean, you should snap a backyard. We could have a party here. It'd be fun.
Listen, I
Listen.
wait. My backyard don't look cute. It's not. Listen, if this was back in LA, I got a great backyard now. Here, I don't. It's just like a little patch of grass.
Hey, that's Nashville. Good luck. You got a patch of grass. Most people don't even get a patch of grass. They have the tall and skinny. It's like you get a house and it's right next to the other person's house. It's kind of wild.
I don't like that. I
You
don't
see, I'm
like
in a
tall,
condo
skinny.
building, so it's like different, which I don't mind. And then we have a little patch of grass because, you know, we used to have the dog because unfortunately our doggy passed away. But we used to have the dog, so we had to have a good little walking path for her. And they have a little dog park behind thing for them. But there's not much. I mean, Nashville's very building, 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 building. And everything's like the land is going like this. It's like there's cranes everywhere.
Yeah, totally. Give me another gratitude in your life,
Okay.
and whether it's family or friends and or career, what is it?
Okay, so I have, I think something that's really cool gratitude wise is my health. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk about two things about my health.
Okay.
Number one, you know, everyone knows I'm a runner. Mm-hmm. And I was in Boston in 2013. I moved there.
Okay.
And the Boston Marathon bombing happened. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, a lot of people text me, thought I was running it potentially. Was not. Next year, I decided to run it. Now, I'd run half marathons, never ran a full. Mm. So I trained for like, you know, 4 months before it in the middle of winter, the dead of winter, cold, running 20 miles by myself. I worked weekend morning, so I couldn't run with the running group because it was on Saturdays and I worked. So I did my long runs on Thursdays by myself.
Oh, my God.
Train, right? Day of the actual event, you know, my TV station, they're doing live shots with me in the morning before it. They wanted to do live shots at the end of it with me, all that. Ran it. Had so many friends and family come in for it, cheering me at different sections.
Mm.
And I heard them and they had signs and ran that thing. When I got down to Boylston Street and I'm coming around the bend and I see the time, like 4 hours and something. I'm like, whoa, I'm going to run it in like 4 hours and something. This is amazing. So I'm like, people are stopping to take pictures. I'm not taking pictures. I'm running to the end.
Yeah.
So I ran to the end, got up, got showered. Find out my time was like 4:03, which amazing time for Boston. I'm like, yes, girl. Like, their hills are crazy there.
Uh-huh.
And I was like 30 at the time. I think 30, maybe 31. I can't remember now my age. So it's great. Like, I we always say things you got to do before you turn 30 or when you turn 30, you got to do that. So did that. Then I get down. I'm eating my first bite of a burger, taking my first glass of wine. And the phone rings, my management. Hey, we need you to come to the station. Like, we want you to be the lead show on Chronicle, which is like our news magazine program at ABC in Boston. So I had to get in a car. My dad had to drive me because I could not move my legs. They were painful. And I had to literally drive to my station 30 minutes outside the city, do it. So I barely ate, barely had a piece of food, barely had a drink, get on air. I don't remember it at all, but had a great time. Then came back and finally ate, like went to bed.
Did you have to wear heels for that?
I did not wear heels.
Thank God.
No, I was in sneakers. And I could not move. I had to wear sneakers that whole weekend because it was really painful.
Oh, my God.
But that was an amazing feat that I got to do. Like, that was something.
Incredible. Congratulations.
And then somebody says, you want to do it next year? I'm like, nope, I'm good. That was it.
I did it.
I knocked that off.
I'm done.
I was like, check the box.
Yeah.
Now, I do a lot of stuff with military stuff, just so you know. I do a lot of charity stuff, right? So I'm grateful for the charity stuff work I do. The other thing I got to do is super cool. Fly with the Blue Angels.
Whoa.
On one of those planes where you do the G's.
Oh my gosh, tell me about it.
Okay, first
of
all. Oh my
gosh, I just got nauseous and a headache at the same time thinking about being in
it. So think about this. Okay. First of all, I'm getting ready to go up and I do it. He's like, you okay, you ready? 3, 2, 1. He didn't warn me. 6 G's all the way up. And I'm like,
your whole face.
And I'm like squeezing and you have to squeeze your butt. You have to push down.
You have
like,
to squeeze your butt.
Yeah, you're supposed to squeeze your butt and push down like you're pushing so hard to hold yourself.
So you don't
your
poop.
Weight. Yeah. I don't know if that's pooping, but it's something. It's just to keep yourself from like, fall. I think it's to get you to keep the blood from not like going to your head and like passing out. But then I did 7 G's and that's when I passed out for a second.
Wait.
Wow.
And then I said, whoa, I think I passed out. I was like, yeah, you were quick though. You were in and out. I said, you didn't. He's like, if I did, we would have crashed. I'm like, oh, right. Good, good, good. So then we did all these like tricks and flying around. And
no way.
And so we came down to ground, right? And I feel like my head was in the clouds for the rest of that day. But then my boss like, hey, you're going to do live shots at 4, 5, and 6. So like I did live shots. I don't remember any of it.
All doozy.
All doozy, all fun. Like, but it was great. It was like.
They're like, Danielle Breezy's drunk on television.
I was definitely high. Like it felt high. Like not like high in life, like high in the clouds. It was a wild euphoric experience.
That's incredible.
So I got to do that. And I think I'm going to go to the base up in Clarksville and do some stuff too there coming up. I don't know. I can't say that technically yet, but it might be. But that might be coming up soon. And then, these are crazy things you get to do with your career that you don't realize you're going to get to do. And then I will say my gratitude, my most personalized recent gratitude is my health journey in terms of endometriosis, which I've been very public about. And my gratitude goes out to the people that reached out to me. And the gratitude goes out to the doctors that found it, the doctors that helped me, and all the people that came to me because this came out of nowhere. You know, when health happens, it doesn't matter. Your life stops.
Yeah.
And so in December, I thought something was wrong with my body. I had had endometriosis since 2020, but then my doctor stopped taking insurance. So I went to another doctor. She's like, oh, you're healthy. You run. You're light. You're thin. You're good. She never did anything. Mm-mm. So I felt like there was something wrong. Like I was like, something in my gut doesn't feel right. And whenever something doesn't feel right, I see this way too often. advocate for yourself. Mm-hmm. Health messages, advocate for yourself.
Yes.
Because if somebody tells you no, go to another doctor. So I started Googling late at night, you know, going on like not WebMD, but that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I find this Dr. Magus, and she's like renowned for laparoscopic hysterectomy and like endometriosis cancer, that kind of stuff. So I'm like, I want to go to her. She's a specialist. So I reach out. They get me in. She sits with me. She's like, hey, why are you on birth control continuously? You're 41. I'm going to tell you that's the first thing we're going to do as a no-no because you have a 300% chance of stroke, heart attack, or blood clot. What? I've been on this and I could have that? Didn't have no idea. I'm like, okay, good to know.
What?
So she's like, we're going to change that regimen for sure. She goes, now I want to do an ultrasound because I'm a little bit worried. So I'm like, okay. Went into the ultrasound. She did it herself in her office that same day.
Uh-huh.
Okay? She goes, okay, let's go back and talk in her office. She goes, so I found a mass in your uterus. She drew a picture of like my uterus. She's like, it's 4 centimeters. It was like half my uterus.
Whoa.
And so she's like, I really think your best option is for me to just take it all out. You've had this for years now. It's growing on it. There's going to probably be stuff around it. We need to just take it out. But here's the thing. You need to be sure you don't want to have children. Mm. Now, because I had this diagnosis back in 2020, that was really when Joe and I started talking about that. And we decided it's okay. We're not going to do it probably because it's going to be too hard. So I went, she goes, you have to go home and talk to your husband. Here's my first 2 available dates. She gave me the dates like in January. It was December, like middle December when I saw her. So this is like where you're like, okay, your doctor's urgently telling you something.
Mm-hmm.
It's time, right? So I literally went home and talked to Joe. Joe's like, I'd rather have you be alive than anything else.
Yeah.
We're getting it done.
Yeah.
At the first available. And we'll make it happen. And this is when Joe was in the flux of his career stuff too happening, going and moving to Atlanta. His management there was so nice about letting him stay through my process, through the 6 weeks I needed to recover to make sure I was okay.
So his new job, he was able to take off time and come just be with you.
Just to be with me. They said, you can start later because you need to be with your wife.
Right.
Which I think that's a blessing. And my management was like, you need to go and go do it now. Take care of yourself first and we'll deal with it later. Right. So I wasn't sure if I was going to go public with it, but I felt this calling like, because I felt like people, 1 out of 10 women suffer from endometriosis and a lot of people have infertility issues and all these things. And I felt like I wanted people to know. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted people to know why I wasn't going to be around for a while.
Because
I was supposed to be off for at least 3 weeks.
Wow. Okay?
So I publicly posted about it and it became huge.
I remember.
And it was a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It became an open dialogue and I loved it.
People needed it.
Because so many women shared their stories.
Yeah.
And it was like moving to me. Like I needed that. Like, at a place where I was so nervous. And by the way, they had to test that mass for cancer. And I had to wait a week for it. So that week was one of the like, you think, because you get that C word, your life stops. Okay? As I know, as I have friends and family members have been through it. So I was really worried. And so those messages of hope and their stories and their it was hard to respond, but I told everyone, I read them all.
Wow.
And it was like, if I didn't have it, I don't know. I was in a dark point. So I'm very grateful, very grateful for folks that maybe I don't even know that just shared their love with me and their stories. And it gave me more strength during a time when I felt very like weak.
Mm-hmm.
And I was grateful for that. Of course, my family being a part of it, Joe being there, my friends being there. My friends, every day a friend would come over and bring me lunch.
I love them.
And just come over and just be like, check on me. Somebody would call me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just nonstop check-ins.
Yeah.
And then that week later when she called me and she's like, we have great news. You're good.
Let's go.
And I was like, bless America. And I felt like because all the positive vibes that were going,
I was like,
that was good too. I think sometimes it's like the positive mindset. You put that in your,
you
put that in the aura and you just put the energy out.
Yeah.
It comes through for you.
Yeah.
So I was like, that I was able to share that. And I was like, thank you. And then all these people were like, blessings, kudos, good, we're good. And then a week later, the ice storm was coming.
Oh,
so
no.
I had to go back to work early.
Oh,
that's okay.
No.
I'm not going to miss it for my viewers. I'm going to figure it out if I had to have a heating pad. I was in my sneakers on the air. I was taking breaks on the couch.
Oh,
but I
gosh.
Did it. I covered that. I was like, I am not leaving my friends hanging. They were like, I cannot believe you're back already.
Look at you.
But I was like, I'm not missing this I got to be there for them. These are my people. I'm the people's meteorologist. I'm going to be there.
I love that. I have a question about your endometriosis. So your doctor found the mass and took the mass out when they went to, so they did laparoscopic
Hysterectomy.
Hysterectomy. So they just took the whole...
All the things out. Uterus is gone.
Uterus is gone.
Fallopians are gone. Mm-hmm. She said she took out, like, removed a lot of endometriosis growth around it and around my ovaries. She left my ovaries in, though. So...
Okay.
Not in menopause yet.
So how does... Again, like, how does that work? Like, you don't have all these parts, but you still have aches? You still have...
I don't technically... I can't produce anything, I don't think, anymore. Like, that's done.
Okay.
Like, I just have the ovaries. So the ovaries help keep you... Your hormones in check.
Okay.
But she...
Oh, okay.
Saying? Like, it's more hormonal, I guess.
Yes.
But she did say in a couple years, like, I'd be accelerated to the needing hormone replacement therapy, probably. Most likely, because of all that stuff. Like, and if I start to feel anything off, I need to come see her immediately.
Yeah.
But so far, I got a knock on wood. It's been okay. But...
So the endometriosis was all over your uterus.
All over my uterus. And all over my fallopian tubes and all over my...
But they didn't know... that's my question, is how did they know it was endometriosis before going in? Because don't they say, like, you can't?
They can't know. So in 2020, she had to do an exploratory surgery, is what they call it. Laparoscopic exploratory surgery. And she goes in, and what she did that time, and this was my other doctor, Dr. Woods, who's amazing, because she was the one
Stop taking your insurance.
Stop taking it, unfortunately, yeah. But she was wonderful, because she was the one that, in her gut, said, we got to do a surgery. I'm worried. I think you have endometriosis, based on what you told me. Mm-hmm. And she found it, and so she did the burning off part, where she would burn the stuff off. So she took it away from me, and she said at that time I had stage 3.
Oh my gosh.
So, but what's crazy is some doctors, like, they don't know it is. It's a disease that's not curable. Mm-hmm. Number one, and there's a lot of, like, unknowns about it. Like, how does it actually happen? But you have to do, most of the time you have to do surgeries unless you do an ultrasound and you have a huge, like... She was able to find at least that mass on it. Mm-hmm. But if you don't always have a mass, but you have it around, the only way you're going to do it is with an exploratory surgery. So if you ever feel like your periods are super painful, or they're super heavy, or you're getting cramping, or you have digestive issues, there's a lot of things that go along with it, or hormonal things happen. You really need to say all these things to your doctor. And if you feel like your doctor's not going for it, go to another doctor. It's like an exploratory, I think it's a exploratory laparoscopic procedure, because she goes in, like, robotically and does it.
Yeah. I didn't know that was even an option, because I talked to my sister. I'm like, I am 90% sure that you have endometriosis. I also had endometriosis.
You did? Okay.
And I had fibroids that my doctor was going in, myomectomy.
Yep.
Go in and take my fibroids out.
Okay.
When she went in is when she found all the endometriosis, and she said it was everywhere. My surgery was supposed to be like 3-4 hours at the most. I was in there for 8 to 9 hours.
That's wild. Yes.
Because they had so much endometriosis to clear out of my body. She said it was everywhere.
See, that's scary. See, and I didn't even know that about you.
Yeah.
Like, it's like 1 out of 10 though. We're like, and you don't know that until you go in.
Exactly. And so, like, my sister, she has the worst periods of all time. Okay, yep. Like, it's just awful. And I'm like, I guarantee you have endometriosis, but how do they'll just say, there's no way to tell. And that's it. So I didn't even know there was this.
Laparoscopic exploratory surgery.
Exploratory. Like, go look for it. That you could be like, hey, like, go check me real quick.
Yeah. Like, and it's not bad. I mean, yes, you have to go under for it, but it is way worth it, because if you feel that way, I tell your sister to do that and find a doctor that will.
I'm going to immediately.
Immediately. Because I think that that's good. Did you do your surgery before you had a kid?
I had to.
That's what I was going to say, because that's how I was too. And when you do that laparoscopic exploratory stuff, that's what she tells me she would have done if she would have done the laparoscopic that way, because she would have kept everything in if we were interested in kids. But she said, if you're not, let's just get, because the more it grows, the worse it gets.
So I did mine because I wanted kids.
Yep.
So they found fibroids, like, where your fibroids are, they're very big. And the location, you cannot get pregnant with these. So you have to get them removed. So that's why I was going to get them removed, was because of that. And then when they went in, they found everything else.
Which is wild.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm so happy you have a child, because it can be hard.
Yeah.
It can be hard with this disease.
Oh, she's a miracle baby.
Yes.
100%. I mean, I had her in my 40s.
Yep.
All the fibroids and endometriosis leading up to it. I had minimal eggs. Minimal. I tried IVF before. It didn't work. I did it twice. I couldn't. I had very minimal eggs with the whole process. None of my embryos were viable, the whole thing. And then I ended up getting pregnant naturally. And
Oh, thank
a
you.
miracle. She's a miracle.
That's
She is
amazing,
a
though.
full miracle baby.
That is amazing, though. I mean, those kind of things. It's like you hear these stories all the time, and it's like, and I think sometimes it's been like a taboo thing to kind of talk about. But I'm so glad we're having these conversations now, and we're open to this because I think it's important, and I think it's important for women's health to be open about it, you know. And it's, I know it's uncomfortable sometimes. But I'm like, just talk about it, because the more we talk about it, maybe the more cure we'll get. Maybe we'll find a cure one day, or we'll find more information out about it, because it's still something where people don't really know. It's weird. It's like a, they're like, I don't know how it really happens. It's like, but it, you know, I think my mom, she had a hysterectomy, like the full cutting one, like in her 40s too. But she was able to have kids, okay. But she probably had it back in her day. They probably just didn't even know what it was, you know? So it's like
Wild.
those kind of things, you got to advocate for your health. So if you ever feel like something's off, a real advocate, because, you know, you can only be your best person for it.
That's right. Absolutely. Okay.
How we doing?
We are good. Danielle, do you have our rapid fire? Okay, so we're going to do some quick little rapid
Yes.
fire matitudes, gratitudes, and Danielle will give you some, and you just reply if you're grateful for that or you're mad about that.
Okay, perfect. I love this. Okay.
And there could be an argument made for both sides, truly.
Okay, this is good. Okay.
Okay, so first one, a surprise live band at a restaurant.
Okay. So that is a 50-50 for me. So there's gratitude because I do like music, but is it really loud? Because then I'm mattitude because I want to be able to hear the conversation I'm having at dinner. Sorry, I'm getting old now. That's your 40s. Yeah. What? Like,
Hate it.
do you know, like, when you're at like a place, like, okay, so like for example, Joe and I just went to like a club in Atlanta, and I'm meeting all these people for the first time. I'm like, hey, yeah. Like, I have no idea what you're saying. No. I don't like it too.
Totally.
Like, maybe in our 20s. That was fun. Like, we were at the club. We were like, no, I want to like sit and talk.
I love live music. So if
Yes.
I was in that situation, I'd be like, oh, cute. Can I sit way over there? Like, I love that they're here, but can you put me over there?
You and me, very similar people there. Yes.
Yes. And you know, because after like the third or fourth time you've said what to someone, then you just have to go, okay.
All right, this
And
is the
then
lunch
that's
we're having.
okay, so we're just gonna drink and dance and kind of
Okay. Buying something and then seeing it a few days later go on sale.
Mattitude. Because listen about this. I am a deal shopper. This girl loves her TJ Maxx, her Marshalls, her Nordstrom Rack, Amazon. If I can get a discount, I'm in. But if I see that thing go down, ooh, I did it wrong.
Ooh, I'm going to get let me find my receipt. Let me get back in there.
My mom taught me, like, I remember when I was a kid, she would take me out late at night because she's a night owl like I am, because I'm a night owl. She'd be like, hey, we're going to go to Macy's, but you can only shop at the red area, 50% off rack. Love
Let's go,
mama.
Mom.
Like, mama's always, she taught me a deal from the beginning. So I'm a deal shopper, you know?
How about this? Do you ever be on Amazon and it's like, special? This one is like 43% off right now. And you gotta purchase it within, 6 hours. But you don't wanna just buy the one thing. You're like, hold on, let me find a couple things so I don't get like too many boxes. Let me find, and then you forget and then you miss the price. You ever done that
Yes.
one?
And then you lost it. And then it's up higher. That happens a lot. Do you ever notice that? Like, if you put into something and they break. Anyway, that is a attitude for me. Like, I put in for something and then I look at it again. You know who does that? Uber and Lyft do that. Yes. Oh, I look into scheduling, and then if I go back to it, it's $2 more. I'm like, you, because I'm trying to compare
Same.
price.
Same with airplane tickets. I
Airplane. Oh,
swear
yeah.
they're watching
Attitude.
you. Okay. You're at dinner and someone asks, can I just have a bite?
Of your food?
No.
Oh, I do
No.
it though. I do that.
Do you ask?
I do that. Oh,
Oh.
this is a good one then.
I don't know. See, I just don't want people touching my food.
Okay, see, but I am the person that's also like, we can be at a table of like seven people, and I'm like, anybody want a bite?
Like, oh, you're like friendly though. You're like sharing.
Yeah. Like if it's like real good, but like, oh my gosh, you guys want to bite? Yeah, anybody want to bite? And if I see somebody who has something real good, I kind like I'll be like, can I buy that? Can I just taste it?
You're
Like, I think that's me.
you're like, I
Is
like
that
that.
based on me?
I mean, kind of. No,
Maybe.
I mean, I would share with you if you asked like politely. I would, but like, I'm not a person that want like, if it's on my plate, I kind of want to eat it myself. I will share my drink though, which is probably worse because I'm like, hey, you want to try my drink? I want to try your. Well, actually, I just want to try your drink. Like your drink, I'm
Ooh,
having
you're so
order.
pretty.
I have order envy. I want your drink. But it is funny, and my husband doesn't even ask. He just that I think. See, this is why I think I'm so protective of my food, because he won't ask. He just goes and takes it off my plate, and I'm like, at least ask. And I was like, this when I order food, he assumes it's his too.
100%. My husband's like, what happened to what's mine is yours and yours is mine? I'm like, nah, bro.
Nah, bro,
Not with you.
no. This is not. So that's why I think I get like even more protective of my plate because of him.
And this is what my husband does. I'll be savoring like this is a real good bite. I'll be like, this one's gonna be towards the end because that looks like a real juicy piece. So I'm gonna eat this, and then he'll come and get it because he'd be like, you didn't want that piece. I'm like, nah, bro. Savoring it. That was gonna be my favorite piece.
You're like, actually, I put that for my end piece. Like, that's my good end game.
This is my closer right here.
Right.
Get out of
Oh.
town.
Yeah, I
All
feel like
right, give
that.
us one more to do.
Yeah, I was
Unless
like,
you got any
because I
others.
was like, I feel like that goes a line whenever you have been waiting all day to have your leftovers and then somebody either ate
Physical
them or threw them
altercation
away.
will happen.
Yeah, that will happen. That will, yes. Like I have been
Or like
waiting.
he
like just takes the stuff out, like, and I'm like, you just I bought that for myself. Okay. Okay. Yep.
Yep,
Yep.
very
Okay.
protective.
Ange, I don't know if you've experienced this one enough times, but you get copied into a long threaded email chain that you know nothing about, and the response is, you'll handle it. They'll say,
See
you'll handle
below.
it.
A C below email, and it's a thread of like 10 conversations.
Yes. But it's like, but they're saying like, see below, Danielle will take care of it. And you're like, what?
Oh, that. Yes. Oh,
And you're like,
oh.
this is brand new information.
This that's a mattitude for me. Please loop me in. Please let me know ahead of time. Please don't just say, see below, Danielle, do it. No, you got to tell me what's going on.
Give me a recap.
Listen, I work in the communication business, but sometimes I feel like the communication breaks down in the most loving way possible, but it really does. Like, I really like to know everything so I know what I'm getting myself into before it's like, oh, Danielle's being put into this. Like, I'd like to just know. I like to make decisions for myself. Sometimes I'm just told, though. So it is what it is. I am a corporate person, so I'll always do what I'm told. But yeah, and then the emails, I feel like I get lost in emails. Do you ever get lost in emails?
Oh,
Yeah.
yes.
Like, I feel like I get them in. So, your inbox goes like hundreds a day, right? I'm in the middle of doing my shift. And by the way, I do the 3 o'clock show, the 4 o'clock show, the 5 o'clock show. There's a 5:30 podcast show, a 6 o'clock show, and a 10 o'clock show. So,
Dang.
like, by the time I'm done doing all my shows and my weather graphics and my forecast, and then I have to like do all the social media aspects, all that stuff, I'm tired. And then I have to go through my email. So I usually go through my email at like 11 p.m.
Wow.
So I usually email people. People probably like dislike me a lot, but it's like between 11:30 and 1 a.m. They're getting emails back. You want to know? Here now, I'm going after it, get my work done. But it's hard because sometimes like I feel like you get them so many places, like social media, right? People DM me. And it's really nice. I don't mind it. But sometimes I'm like, you got to email me this because if I don't hit this right away, I'm going to forget you asked me to do this. So you got to email me this. And then I got to figure out. I don't have a scheduler. I am a one-woman wrecking machine. I have no assistants. And I do all these filtering. So
The heck?
somebody wrote me and said, like, she never wrote me back. And I was like, did you Facebook message me one time? Because you also, if I don't see it, and if I'm in the middle of storm coverage, I get 45 million emails of pictures and whatever. I'm looking for pictures of storms. I'm not looking at the email you asking me for a request.
You don't have an assistant
No.
helping you scope
No. And
through all that?
I do like 50, 60, 70 events a year. I do probably 100 schools a year, and I do it all myself. And sometimes I mess it up. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Like, I've definitely double booked myself.
Girl, why? Girl.
I know I need an assistant. I was actually saying that, but the thing is, okay, I'm going to be honest. I'm a little like
Control
control
freak.
freak.
I knew it.
Did you know that about me?
Girl, get you an assistant.
Yeah,
Give yourself a break. please. That see, that's why you like that luxury bus. You could just be replying to all these DMs.
Like, well, I have 4 hours to kill. Now I can do it. Let's go through the hundreds.
Oh my God.
But no, I do feel like that. That's hard. And now that my husband is long distance, that's becoming harder because it's becoming like the scheduling thing. Like just because I have to schedule now my life, like personal life and then my professional, because my professional life, I'm pretty good about most of the time. Like I do have slip ups here and there, but most, you know, 95% of the time I'm on top of everything. But then like now personally, I feel like, did I book that bus? Did I book the flight back? Did I do that? Like what weekend am I doing that?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, if it doesn't go in my calendar, so it goes on, I have a big, like I have a real, like I'm not electronic, a real calendar. So I write things down. But then if I don't put in the daily one, I forget if it's in the big one, the front one. So I need to put in the daily too. So I have to do both from now on. I'm always like, put it in the big one that you see that's the whole month and then put in the daily one where it goes to just so I know it.
Yeah, I get it. You got
wild.
You got your system. You got your way. You do it.
Yeah, but I think I am a control freak in that regard. Like I'm, it's like really like attention, but my attention to detail is pretty high. I do slip up every now and again. I'm not perfect. I'm a human. Sure.
But I'm close.
But I'm close. I try really hard to like nail it all down and like make sure. Yeah. And if I do mess up, I cover it. So that's what's, I'll figure it out or I'll make it up to you.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Danielle Breezy. Ladies and gentlemen, Danielle Breezy in the building. I'm so grateful for you coming and sitting down with me and just sharing some of your stories. So cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. You're such an easy person to talk to.
Thank you.
You're so interesting yourself. So I love doing things like this.
Thank you.
And I love seeing what you do and continue to thrive.
Thanks, Queen. I appreciate you.
From one queen to another queen.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you guys for watching. Bye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.